The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sapliti.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
Are living the dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Good morning. I am your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Sapliti is out today. If you haven't heard, the Colchester Lakers boys baseball team is in the state championship today against South Burlington. An amazing matchup today. I'm really excited about. So he is at that game. So I've called in the big hitter. I've called in, you know, a role model of mine, maybe the role model of mine. And I'm a little intimidated because you're standing while I'm sitting, which is it's kind of been my life that way, you know, as I've sat, as you've lectured me over the years.
Never have.
My father, Butch Paul, is sitting in the big seat today for Bernie Sapliti. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. That's the longest intro I've ever seen, by the way.
Well, I've been practicing because I didn't want to, you know, I was a little intimidated. I was nervous. As most people don't know, the first person I call when I get done doing this show every week is my father. And he tells me whether I've stunk or whether I've been all right. So I'm a little anxious, Aaron. Today I'm anxious. Okay, my father's here today, so you know I've tucked my shirt in, kind of. You know, I shaved my head.
Well,
as
you
I
got started do. With me. You got started in Rutland.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, people may think that, you know, I'm just, oh, what a nice guy, he's bringing his dad in to do the show. But actually, aren't you an Emmy? Didn't you guys win an Emmy down in Rutland?
We did.
Yeah, WSYB.
Jack Healy. Healy.
Well, I mean, that's a great show that you guys had down there. A lot of fun.
Saturday morning, it was great.
And that's kind of where
multiple Emmys.
That's right. Yeah, mucho Emmys.
Mucho Emmys.
Yeah. Well, we've never been anywhere near an Emmy. I can just tell you that.
Mucho Emmys.
Yeah, mucho Emmys. You know what I mean? With Jack Healy, and obviously we love Jack Healy.
The best.
He is honestly the best. We love Jack Healy. And again, all the years you worked with Mitch Braves down there as well. This is a big day for me.
It was a gift.
It was a gift. Well, you're a gift.
You
know what I
mean?
Well, let me just help you out. You got to speak a little closer to the microphone so people can hear you. You know what I mean? You got to get close like that. That's right.
I mean,
you know.
It's been a while, Jeff.
I mean, and down in WSYB, they didn't have the microphones. That's right. You just talk to each other.
We just talk loud.
And you had the windows open.
Yeah.
That's how it worked
out. People
went
by, they listened, they thought it was pretty good.
655-6672 is the number to call. 802-655-6672. It was actually not at WSYB. It was actually at the Rutland Restaurant. It was probably where the show was being.
Probably
but anyway,
was.
With the windows open, people
That's
yelling
right.
out the windows.
That's right. With the pasta.
655-6672 if you want to join our conversation. If you're outside the listening area, 802. Because, you know, you got to put the Vermont in there, 802-655-6672. Or you can text. I know you're kind of new to the texting, but the kids are all texting.
I do text.
Yep, you text very
Monica
well.
Monica just
yeah.
texted me.
She did.
She did. She wanted to use the Gmail.
Well, that's her. She just, that's nice. But you can text us here on the text line, here on the Town Fair Tire text line, to the same number, 655-6672, if you want to join our conversation. Interesting week of sports. We have a new NHL champion. We have a Stanley Cup champion in the Washington Capitals. Washington Capital fans are so excited, and I'm excited for them. Our good friend Austin Danforth is a huge Capital fan. I've got a lot of, I didn't realize how many friends I have that are Caps fans, but they finally get it done. You know, they get the win, they hold the Stanley Cup over their head. But interesting year this year in the NHL. And I think even more interesting about it, if I can't believe you and I are going to talk hockey. This will be the first time in our lives. But the fact is, the Capitals win the Stanley Cup, and basically an expansion team is the team that they played coming from Las Vegas. So interesting year for the NHL.
And can you imagine what Vegas would have been like if they could have won?
Oh, my goodness.
They've got a beautiful facility there. I've been there.
It's
a beautiful, great place to play in Vegas. And that place would have been
Insane. It was probably insane anyway.
Probably was.
I don't know if you got a chance to watch it all, but on Facebook, somebody had posted before the first game of the Stanley Cup Championship, they had like a play. Like they did some kind of show on the ice, which I've never seen before. Actors came out and acted like the Gladiators versus the Capitals, and the Capitals are invading Las Vegas, and the you know, it was just it's just definitely Vegas, and it would have been neat. And listen, the Raiders are headed to Vegas.
Well, pro sports has made a big turn.
No question.
To send a major franchise to Vegas and then have the Raiders go to Vegas.
Yeah, it's going to be something. That city is going to be unbelievable. Yeah. So obviously we have a new champion there with the Washington Caps. So congratulations to them. NBA, we have a champion again. The Golden State Warriors knocked off Cleveland. One of them, I mean, I don't know. I guess if you blinked, it would have been over pretty quickly. One of the, I don't know if it's maybe the most boring NBA final that I've ever watched.
Did you watch any of it?
Maybe like 5 to 10 minutes
maybe.
Of it. You know, I watched the end of game one where J.R. Smith didn't realize what the score was after he missed a free throw. And then after that, it was over. You kind of realized right there that was Cleveland's shot to kind of make this something, and it was over.
I wonder what the ratings were on that series.
That would be interesting
to see.
Well,
it would be.
And on paper, you got to like the fact that it was Cleveland. I guess we always talk about this when we're getting in the playoffs of what the networks want. We talk a lot about it with the NHL. You know, did the NHL want Las Vegas and Vancouver, you know, or whatever, you know, however it would have played out. I guess Vancouver. I don't know if Las Vegas and Vancouver, are they playing the same? Are they in the West? I don't even know. That's how bad I am with hockey. But you know, you want big market teams. You got to believe that the networks wanted.
But Vegas
LeBron.
Helped them. Vegas helped them.
Agreed. But on a national standpoint, if you're trying to see what people are going to watch, that's what I'm kind of talking about. You kind of got to like the LeBron James matchup with Golden State, the two best, arguably LeBron, who's the best player right now playing against Golden State, the best team. So on paper, you kind of like that, but the matchup was so bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's horrible.
Terrible.
We're going to get into that later on. But anyway, huge week. We have a great show lined up this week. It's going to be this week. Obviously, we're going to talk next segment to our buddy from WEEI, Chris Villani. Chris is an insider with the Red Sox and the Patriots. Red Sox, interesting conversation about the Sox right now. They've lost 2 games in a row. In the middle of June, you don't normally worry about those types of things. But what the Yankees and the Red Sox have gone all year, 2 losses in a row are kind of a big deal. But more importantly, the loss of Pomerantz and Betts. That's a big problem for the Red Sox. And I think that's been a microcosm of the last 2 losses. The rookie pitcher comes up, gets blasted by Detroit, and then obviously not having Betts in that lineup has affected them getting shut out by the White Sox.
It has, and Sale got beat last night, and that's got to make them a little nervous. I mean, Sale typically wins that game for them. It's a big game for them against the White Sox, and J.D. Martinez didn't play last night, and you wonder why he didn't play last night.
It'll be interesting to talk to him about that, and again, you know, 2 losses in a row for the Sox, the Yankees win again, and then on the Patriots side of things that I think will be interesting to talk with him about is obviously the Julian Edelman coming out, the PED usage. And there's a connection there with TB12 and that trainer that Belichick doesn't like.
At all.
You know, Brady and Gronkowski showed up to the OTAs this week. So a lot to talk about on the New England Patriot front as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of discourse there. I mean, obviously that, you know, usually with Brady and Gronkowski, especially Brady, everything's pretty solid with them. He doesn't make many mistakes. He doesn't do many things to cause controversy. And for him staying out of the OTAs the first time they had him is something big there. I mean, there's something going on in New England.
Well, we're going to definitely talk to Chris Villani about that. He should have some inside information. At 10:40, we're going to talk to our buddy Burlington Free Press sports writer Austin Danforth, who's going to be live at Centennial Field. Big day in Vermont. It's been a big couple days. State championships for lacrosse were crowned yesterday. There's all kinds of things happening in today's baseball and softball. But there's something about being at Centennial Field for high school championships. And in a day like today where we're going to have 4 games, Division 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all going to be played there starting at 11 o'clock with the Division 1 tilt between South Burlington and Colchester. A big day. It'll be fun to talk to Austin. With all the excitement going on around, it's going to be fun to talk to him.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I was thinking that yesterday, this is an aside, Jeffrey, but Colchester beat Brattleboro.
Colchester beat Brattleboro, yes.
Brattleboro, when I was in school in the 60s, was really one of the best teams in Vermont always, and they always had the best facilities.
They ever. Still did. That facility is one of the best.
It's gorgeous.
They have an upper deck.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And we had my sophomore year, we had a really good team. It was a big game in the middle of the year, and Bradbury brings their team in, and our field behind Rutland, as you know, was a skin in field next to the football field.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they'd have track meets going on at the same time we're playing baseball. And Andy Natowich, who was the head football coach at Brattleboro, who was also the baseball coach at Brattleboro, drives a big game, big afternoon game on a Wednesday afternoon at Rutland, and a lot of people there, a lot of media there. And he drives his bus in the back of the Rutland High School, and he gets off the bus, and he walks in the field. He looked on the field. He goes, my kids aren't playing here. He gets them back on the bus, and they go back to Brattleboro. Never played the game.
Did they forfeit?
Yeah, never played the game.
Because they didn't want to play on Flakes Field
in
Rutland.
Wouldn't play on Flakes Field in Rutland.
Well, Colchester rolled down there, and I know they were facing a deficit at one point in the game and came back and won, so it was a big win for Colchester. Obviously, last week we had talked to the head coach of CVU. They were getting ready to play St. Johnsbury. St. Johnsbury upset them and then almost upset South Burlington, but it wasn't for a great comeback by the Wolves. So we're looking forward to those games today. An exciting day all around Vermont. And then second half of the hour at 11:20, we're going to talk to our buddy, fan-sided NBA senior editor Ian Levy. We just talked a little bit about the final. But again, now that the offseason, I think there's more interest now in the offseason and where LeBron's going to go than there has been when this thing. We're going to talk to Ian all about that.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, because I don't care where LeBron goes.
I don't, me either. My God, am I sick of LeBron James? I'm just sick of this whole circus that's around LeBron James.
Well, the sad part is that he plays in an NBA final, and the next word is, okay, where do I go now?
Yeah,
I mean, where's the next train taking me? I mean, it's too bad because it takes away from what they did in Cleveland.
And let me ask you this question about LeBron James. I argue with Bernie about this a lot.
Bernie who?
My buddy Bernie Siblicki. You're filling in for
it. Oh, Bernie, big Bernie.
You know, LeBron James is one of those players that I look at like Michael Jordan was, and you know,
different.
I understand different in personality, but in terms of
physically
this,
different.
In this era, I'm just talking about in terms of what he represents to the NBA and athletically. Tiger Woods, LeBron James, yeah. Michael Jordan, they're all iconic athletes. They're all the types of players that you're going to think back 50 years and think, wow, he was something. Wilt Chamberlain, names like that. And that's what LeBron is. And whether you like him or not like him, whether you're sick of his antics or not, or you know how we, you know, he's an iconic player. He'll always be an iconic player. But the way he kind of moves from like place to place, it's like he brings his fare.
He's
like
a nomad.
And it's like he's the kind of guy that should have. He was drafted by Cleveland. He's an Ohio guy. He stays there. He builds the empire that could have been the Cleveland Cavaliers throughout his career. And then he retires. You know, it bothers me that now we're going to talk about where is he going to go next and what circus is he going to bring. And the reality is I've made this cliche many times. It's not like he leaves organizations in good hands. You know, he left Cleveland the first time and they were horrible for years until he came back and they were able to draft Kyrie Irving. And we get that. It took years for him to recover. Leaves Miami, it takes years for him to recover. He's going to leave Cleveland again. It's going to take them years to recover. Now you want him in Philadelphia? I mean, Joel Embiid put a tweet out yesterday saying that they want him. Like, I wouldn't want him anywhere near those kids in Philadelphia. I know he might help them for a year or two, but if they start playing poorly, I mean, I just can't imagine having a young team, a young up-and-coming team like the Sixers, and want to bring LeBron James in. Just not because he's not a great player and that he could help you win a championship next year, just because what you're building there is special. I don't know if LeBron James is the answer to that.
Yeah, I just think he's egocentric. I just think he's so self-absorbed in what he does and how he plays and what he sees. He sees himself as in the NBA and his position in the NBA, which is fine. He's a great player.
He is.
Different era. You know, he's physically stronger than most guards that play,
yes,
or most point guards that play. He's a different player than Jordan was. Jordan was more finesse. You got banged up more in those days. You didn't get, you know, now that nobody stands in front of LeBron when he goes to the basket. Nobody does. In the old days, he would have been in the second row of the
right,
whatever. But that's, you know, that's just what's happened in the NBA, and I think that takes away from. I think he's built for this NBA, and I think that's why I think he needs that ego boost all the time. He needs people to think he's better than Jordan. He keeps going from team to team, town to town, to get himself his championships that he thinks he wants. He needs, and I think enough of it is enough. I mean, it's become all about the NBA has become LeBron Jordan.
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
That's who he's become. The NBA has become all about that story.
Yeah.
Where he is, where he's going, who he's going to beat. Can he beat Golden State on his own? Can he beat Boston on his own? Who's he going to go help next year? Can he take that team to the championship? And I think it's enough. I think it's detrimental to the NBA, and I've had enough of it.
And there are plenty of stories in the NBA that are really good. I mean, I really thought going into this particular season that the East was back. I loved what Boston was doing. I love what Boston is doing with that coach.
He's a great coach.
Brad Stevens has basically taken, with all the injuries that team, can you believe he didn't get one coach of the year vote?
That's just jealousy.
I mean, that is.
Think there's many politics in the NBA.
I mean, how does that happen?
Do you think?
I mean, with all the injuries he faced to get that team one win away, essentially from an NBA, and really one bad quarter away from getting themselves to an NBA championship. I mean, that's insane to me.
And did it without their best player.
That's what I'm saying. He did it this whole season, basically. I mean, first you lose Hayward, then you obviously lose Kyrie. I mean, you still continue to win with these guys that were secondary players. To me, that's just insane. You have a Sixers story, that a 76 organization that's been starving to get back, and you've got some really good young players there that are up and coming. I think Indiana's got a nice – there's a lot of good stories in the NBA. Houston had a great team this year. You know, we look at New Orleans, what they did down there. I mean, there's a lot of good stories, but you're absolutely right. The NBA is completely about LeBron James and then I guess where he thinks and where he's going. It's kind of crazy. It's too bad because the NBA really has a chance now to kind of bring themselves back in terms of, I always say, I used to love the NBA the 80s and 90s because there were so many good, every team had a superstar and every team had a story. You know what I mean? Every time that your team went and played another team, there was a great player on that team and there was some story there. Now it's kind of like it's almost like we've got the Harlem Globetrotters and we've got the Washington Generals where they've been. We're just worried about those one or two or three players that we're worried about and everybody else can go take a nap. You know what I mean?
I want him to leave Cleveland because I'm so sick of seeing them in the playoffs and in the finals. I'm sick of the Warriors.
You need to stop talking because you're a Patriot fan. Okay, the Patriots are in the finals in the Super Bowl.
I'm sick of Cleveland being in because they don't deserve to be in.
Listen to you.
I don't want to watch LeBron drag a bunch of amateurs into the finals every year.
Well, I will say this. I mean, he's going to be somewhere else next year. There's no question. Not to worry about that. But interesting year in the NBA. We have a lot to talk about today. Stay right here. When we come back, we talk to our buddy from WEEI, Chris Villani. Red Sox and Patriot talk. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
Bernie Siplicki is out this week.
And Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Bernie Siplicki is out today, so my dad, Butch Paul, filling in.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Oh, it's good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Good to have you here. It's funny that there's only like three people in my life that call me Jeffrey a lot. My wife, my mother, and my dad. Yeah. And normally when I hear the word Jeffrey, I get nervous like I'm in trouble again.
Never.
You know what I mean? Never. Usually I hear Jeffrey Joseph. That's when I know I'm in trouble.
That's then you're in trouble.
Well, as we know. Yeah, there we go. My song. So here we go. Red Sox, Patriots. There's never a dull moment in Boston.
Doesn't seem to be.
It really hasn't been some year for the Red Sox so far. And it's been an interesting, since the Super Bowl, a very bumpy road for the Patriots. Who better to talk to than our good buddy from WEEI? Joining us now on the TikTok Drew's guest line here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. Chris Villani. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
What's happening today, pal? I appreciate you taking the time.
No problem at all. Happy to do it.
All right. Well, I want to. So this interview is twofold here, pal. I want to talk Red Sox and I want to talk Patriots with you. So Red Sox, number one, it's very hard to argue with the season they're having so far. They've been rolling over everybody, but have lost two games in a row. And in a year where the Yankees and Red Sox have been neck and neck and every game seems to mean something, the last two wins may be concerning for Sox fans. Say yes or no.
No. I don't think they are for a couple of reasons. Number one, two nights ago, I was a spot start for Jalen Beeks, a 24-year-old kid who had never pitched in the major leagues before, and it was a rough welcome to the bigs for him. He gives up five runs in the first inning. Bats did absolutely go quiet last night. Speaking of guys that have relatively little major league experience, Dylan Covey, the kid for the White Sox, was outstanding. He just kept the Red Sox off balance for the six innings that he pitched, six plus into the seventh, and then three relievers finished it off. These types of things have popped up in the past. You know, the Red Sox got no hit earlier this season by Sean Manaea for the A's. So without Mookie Betts in the lineup last night, no J.D. Martinez, so he's expected to be back to the lineup today. Alex Cora said yesterday it was just a little minor flare-up with the bat, and anybody that's watched him swing the bat this week will see there's really not much that appears to be wrong with Martinez. He had a home run two games ago, had a double game before last. So he's swinging the bat well. I think it's sort of one of those blips. Now, to your broader point, when you've got a division race that's so competitive, and I think it's clear that these are the two best teams in the American League, if not in all of baseball, then, yeah, I mean, every little blip could potentially be fatal when it comes to winning or losing the division. That said, you know, in a vacuum, these two games, not a huge concern. It's only the second time in the last 3 weeks they've even lost back-to-back games.
When you bring up Mookie Betts and that they've been talking about oblique, and when you hear the word oblique, that sometimes can mean a long time. Is there a real concern there about Mookie Betts' injury?
Well, he was eligible to come off the disabled list yesterday and obviously didn't. There's a little bit of a concern for sure. They're definitely slow-playing it. Because like you point out, anytime you have an oblique injury, it's the kind of thing that can nag. It's the kind of thing that you think you're out of the woods with it and everything's fine, but one swing of the bat and it flares up again. So I think, and Alex Cora said this a couple of times right before Betts went on the disabled list, it's probably at a point where he could play through it, and Cora said as much. And going into that Houston series, he said if this were September, if this were October, Mookie would probably be in the lineup. But they're going to slow play it. They're going to be careful with it because of that nature of flaring up and nagging on a player, and also because the season this guy's having. I mean, along with J.D. Martinez, Mike Trout, and a couple other guys, he's been among the handful of best players in the major league. So, of course, it's a concern because of the potential for a recurrence, but right now it seems like it's not terribly serious for Betts, and they're just being overly cautious.
A lot of home runs for the Red Sox this year, more than last year. Obviously, J.D. Martinez made a huge difference. I think there's seven players with over 9 or 10 home runs, the only team in baseball with that number. Is there a concern, though, with somebody like a Devers who came on the scene last year, hit really well, hit for average, hit for power, and this year he's struggling average-wise. He's got some home runs. He's got some pop, as everybody has. But is there any concern in Boston that he's gotten off such a slow start average-wise?
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit. He has picked up a bit recently. I mean, very recently. He's reached base in 7 of his last 8 games. He had a double last night. The thing for Red Sox fans, really anybody with Devers, to remember is if you were playing in high A right now, he'd be the youngest player on that team. I mean, it's still, when a guy comes up and has success immediately at the age that he did, it's natural to expect sort of a natural progression there, but it can also work the other way, especially with a player that's so young. I mean, we saw it with Andrew Benintendi seeming to take a step back, and he's been on an absolute tear over the past several weeks. You can say the same thing about Mookie Betts at an MVP caliber season a couple of years ago. Took a step back by most accounts last year, by any account, just look at the numbers. And then this year, among one of the better players in baseball. So I don't know that they're entirely ruling out, you know, if he were to get back into a slump. Again, he's been better over just the last few games, but if he were to get back into a slump, is, you know, a trip to the bench, maybe a trip to the minor leagues. Things got really bad. Possible, sure. But I think there's an understanding right now. First of all, the Red Sox don't have a ton of depth, so he really needs to continue to play. And also, he's just so young. This is sort of a natural growing pain that's apt to happen with a player like that.
And
do they need him to hit better with that lineup with Betts and Martinez and Bogarts? And I mean, they've the top end of the lineup has hit really well this year. I mean, they hit home runs. They've hit for average. Do they need him now to play better?
Well, yeah, I think they were counting on him being one of the guys who was going to, you know, really stretch out this lineup and make it a more productive lineup. You know, that said, over the last few weeks, they've gotten a lot more out of 7, 8, and 9 than they would have imagined at the beginning of the season, or that they were getting at the beginning of the season. So they've gotten production, whether it be, you know, some good at bats from Brock Holt, some production out of the catching position. Christian Vasquez has got a couple of home runs over the past week. So it has been better, but I do think they were sort of penciling in a better outing from Rafael Devers over the course of the season than what they've gotten so far, at least in terms of getting on base, some of the batting average numbers and things like that. Alex Cora wants this to be a deep lineup, 1 through 9. He wants it to mirror what he saw as a bench coach last year in Houston, and that's why he had Mookie Betts, now as Andrew Benintendi, as a leadoff hitter, despite being guys that have relatively powerful bats. They are guys that are supposed to be able to turn that lineup over and drive in runs. Well, in order to do that, you got to have guys on base. Mookie Betts is hitting a ton of solo home runs earlier in this season because 7, 8, and 9 were not getting on base at a consistent rate. So that has gotten better, but lengthening that lineup is, at least in part, contingent upon Devers, sure.
We are talking to WEEI's Chris Villani here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Chris, let's switch over to the Patriots, the gold standard New England Patriots since that Super Bowl loss. It's been like a Kardashian show, actually, you know, a little bit, for lack of a better term. Started out with, you know, Brady and Gronkowski. You know, we weren't sure if they were going to come back. They kind of held out for some of the OTAs. They've shown up now, which I think is a good sign, obviously, if you're a Patriot fan. But the really bad news from Julian Edelman as he tests positive for PEDs. What's going on with New England?
Well, boy, that's how much time do we have? I mean, that's a broad question right now. The Edelman news was, I guess you could say, surprising. I mean, there's been 17 guys that have been suspended in calendar year 2018, where virtually no games have been played other than the few playoff games at the tail end of 2017 season. 17 guys around the league have been suspended. 14 of them have been, this including Edelman, for some sort of performance-enhancing drugs. One was for something that wasn't identified, and two were for substance abuse issues. So it's not like this is, you know, the only time it happens, although it feels like when it happens to the Patriots, it's magnified as if it's the only time that happens. So it's disappointing for Edelman. He said he was disappointed. He said he doesn't know how it happened. My guess is this has happened with other players, including Rob Ninkovich, another former Patriot, where the immediate reaction is, I don't know how this happened. They find out more details through the appeal process of the suspension, and they say, oh, it was this. Okay, now I know how this happened, and I was stupid for letting it happen. That may be what happens here with Julian Edelman. It's the thing that always jumps out to me with these PED suspensions, and I'm also thinking of it now because we're just talking about baseball, the difference between how they are treated in football as opposed to how they are treated in baseball. I mean, over the past few days, it's been, well, hey, Edelman's got four more weeks to
right.
Rest the knee and get back to 100%, whereas in baseball, forget it, this guy's legacy is over, he's never going into the Hall of Fame, and it's just such a different conversation. And some of the Red Sox actually were mentioning that to members of the press over the past day. It's like, yeah, man, you know, this happens to a football player, and it's like, you know, it happens, what do you do? Come see, come saw, move on. Happens to one of us. And it's legacy crushing forever. So I always get a chuckle out of that.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. That's definitely that's a whole segment worth of talk right there we could use. But I think the most intriguing part of this thing is that he's tied to that trainer that Belichick doesn't like. You know, and that's where I see this being a problem. Where, you know, we know the relationship that Brady has with the trainer, and then the trainer and Brady have with Belichick. I mean, that's where I can start seeing this thing kind of spiraling a little bit.
Well, yeah, and Alex Guerrero did put out a statement right after it happened, not yesterday, but on Thursday, saying that, you know, professing that what they do at TB12 is, you know, safe and holistic and, above all, legal.
Isn't that what A-Rod's cousin said, too, though? Isn't that what he said back in the day?
Well, and I'm sure the guys at the Bay Area lab
exactly.
probably said the same thing, too. If this were to somehow get tied back to Guerrero, and I'm not saying that will happen, but if it does, let's play the game. The biggest loser in all of this is not Edelman, it's not Guerrero, it's not Belichick, it's Brady, and it's not even close. I mean, he has staked the TB12 brand, his post-football enterprise that he is building up over these past several years, on the idea that, look at me, look at what I can do playing at this ridiculously high level into my 40s, and it's because of pliability and massage and resistance bands and the nutrition, and I'll never drink a soda or eat a cheeseburger, which for me, frankly, it wouldn't be worth it.
Or tomatoes. He doesn't even eat tomatoes. He doesn't even eat tomatoes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, can't believe tomatoes are bad for you.
He's married to a tomato.
So if this were to somehow get tied back to Guerrero, fairly or not, all of that gets called into question if Brady's working with a guy who's dirty. And this guy has already had a checkered past, and I'm not putting that aside. I think most people know that. But this would all come sort of crashing back down on Brady. So it's really, for Brady's sake, not necessarily for the team, but for Brady and his post-football life, it's important that this does not get directly tied back to Alex Guerrero in any way.
Chris Villani, you're the best, buddy. Have a great rest of your day. I appreciate the time.
Hey, guys. Enjoy it. Hope it's as beautiful in Burlington as it is here in Boston.
It is a nice day today for a change. So thanks, buddy. Have a great one.
Thanks. You too, guys.
You know, interesting conversation about this because, you know, to me, the Patriots for so many years have been that gold house on the hill. You know, I mean, everything that Belichick does and Brady touches turns to gold. There's no problems. They're the organization that everybody's trying to be. And for the last, I mean, listen, ever since this Guerrero thing came out between when Belichick didn't want him in the facility and now all of a sudden Edelman's coming down with this situation, I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist here, but it's interesting timing, I guess.
Yeah, but I wonder if it's just all talk and noise.
And it could be.
I mean, my guess is the way that organization is put together and the control that Belichick has on that team and really the pride that Brady has in his career and what he does every day, when they get inside the ropes and they get on the field, I just can't believe any of this means anything.
Well, I will say this, and I've always said this. Like, I by no means would ever tell anybody. I mean, cheating in anything is not good. It's horrible. But, you know, all these guys have are their legacies. And sometimes some of these guys hold on so long that they make those little decisions that maybe I won't get caught. And that's what you kind of worry about. You know what I mean? When it comes to this thing. And Edelman is a guy trying to come back from injury. He's a big key to that Patriot machine. You saw the difference without having him this past season.
And again, they went to the Super Bowl.
No, I know. But they went to the Super Bowl in a very weak AFC. But didn't win the Super Bowl. Let's be honest. Okay? And at the end of the day, if this does get tied back to Guerrero, I mean, this is trouble for Tom Brady. It just looks bad for Tom Brady if this does get tied back to him.
And that may be true personally, but I just can't believe professionally it means anything to anybody in that team. I just can't. Yeah. I just knowing how they run that organization, talking to people who are involved in the organization a little bit, that know the people involved, once they start playing, that's all they care about. Their culture is winning, and I don't think they let anything step in the way of that. I just don't think they do.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Championship Saturday, buddy. Austin Danforth, award-winning Free Press writer, is live at Centennial Field, and we're going to get the input that we need to have for all the championship games today. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
Jeffrey.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Bernie.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Hope you're all having a great morning. It's a beautiful morning here in Chicken
County. Beautiful
morning. A little low. Actually, when we came in this morning, it was
beautiful.
High 60s.
Gorgeous.
Not a cloud in the sky. It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend, like low 70s.
No top on the Jeep.
No top on your Jeep. Well, the thing about you is when the top goes down on the Jeep, it stays down. Right. Rain, snow,
doesn't
no problem.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't come back up.
In case you're wondering, Bernie Siplicki is out this week. My father, Butch Paul, holding down the ship. Good to see you, buddy. Holding down the ship for the big fella. Listen, nobody likes to talk high school sports more than you. Because you, my friend, were the high school legend. Rutland High School, class of 68. I mean, come on.
Oh, come on.
Come on, stop
come on,
it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Come
Let
on.
Me just tell you about how many home runs
I've
I
got
hit.
Some pictures if you like
I know,
to see
you. You have a whole scrapbook. We've all seen it.
All you seen have it. Seen it?
I've seen the scrapbook. I love it.
Oh.
What are you talking about? Have I seen it?
I didn't know if you ever saw it.
Every year you'd show it. Every year we
I didn't
this.
Show it to
it
you.
Was Christmas, it was a Christmas
on,
thing.
It was on the kitchen table every
Exactly.
Year.
Hey, I don't know if you noticed this or not. Did you see this article from 1967?
Excuse me, could you move the rash potato?
Excuse me.
And grab
I want to show you something,
book.
Please.
Right.
Look at this picture of me
my
sliding in the home plate.
It's
a beautiful scrapbook.
It's scrapbook.
Very big because you were a superstar athlete.
Big time.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I wish this guy was around to cover you back in the day because he's my buddy right now in the TikTok There's Guest Line, Burlington Free Press sports writer, award winning sports writer. And again, I have to say, another beautiful article this morning about the Harwood Lacrosse Championship. Another great article. Our good friend Austin Danforth joins us live from Centennial Field right now. Good morning, Austin.
Morning, boys. How are you?
The biggest question is the Bernie Siplicki entourage arrived at Centennial Field yet?
I don't know because I'm on my way to Centennial Field.
Oh, you're not there yet either.
I'm a little behind.
Oh, what a surprise. Your entourage hasn't showed up yet. All right. Well, Austin, let's get ready to do it because I know you got a very busy day ahead of you. Division One baseball starts today at 11 o'clock. We've got Colchester and South Burlington. Colchester, a team that I think has been kind of under the radar all season, and they're rolling in at 16-3. South Burlington, unbelievable. Great comeback against St. Jay. Two very good baseball teams. What can we expect to see today?
I'm really rooting for more very good baseball from these two teams. They've played about as well as anybody has from day one. You look at Colchester. Two of their three losses came in their first three or four games. They've only lost one game since. I think it was 9 games ago. They lost 8-4 to Mount Mansfield. South Burlington, they're kind of cut from a similar cloth. Deep pitching, very athletic and skilled and well-drilled across the field. And both lineups can produce. So getting past either one of them is a hurdle. And, having both of them on the same field I think we're poised for a potential classic.
You know, it's funny, both teams, when you look at their records, Colchester 16, they're the number 3 seed, South Burlington 13-5, the 4 seed. Who do you think's got the advantage? I mean, on paper, you'd think Colchester if you're just an average fan, but who do you think has the advantage today?
I think Colchester does have the advantage. They're coming off a big road win at Brattleboro, who hadn't lost in the state this year. And I do like, you know, talking to other coaches, all of them sort of talk, you know, throughout the season in reverential tones about the Lakers and you know, the lineup they have, the depth of athleticism they have, and the fact that you look, only three teams beat them. You know, they weren't an easy out in the regular season either. So they were kind of the team that nobody wanted to face all along, to be honest.
Austin, this is Butch. Austin, who's got the best pitcher going today? Which team's got the best pitcher, you think, going today?
I think if Colchester is throwing Saul Manaea, he's probably the best one on offer. But whether they send Tom Vasosky out there, or Cole Grove, or you know, if you're looking at the Wolves, if it's Ben Tate coming out, or if it's Jack Ambrosino, who pitched the first five innings of their semifinal game, he should be available. I think the way it worked for both teams, anybody is available, and you know, each one has, you know, at least three very quality arms that they could put out there. That I don't think there's a lot of drop off. But if you got to give that, like, maybe the number one guy on either staff, it's probably going to be Manaea for Colchester.
How big a day is it at Centennial Field? All these games today, back to back to back to back. It's an exciting day at an iconic field, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, a triple header, six different schools cycling through there, so you're going to have a couple thousand fans at least, you know, over the course of the day. We got D1, the big boys, here at 11 a.m. Then you go D3, which is Windsor against Green Mountain, at 2 o'clock, and then it finishes with D2, Lamoille and Lake Region at 5 o'clock. Don't say Lamoille and Lake Region too fast. You might get your tongue tied up there. But I'll be there for all three. I'll be covering D1 and D2, providing photos from D1. It's going to be a long, busy day, but once it's over, we're staring at summer, so it's good all the way around.
Does Essex and Colchester play the best girls softball games in the history of girls softball in Vermont?
Oh my God, it's like shake and bake. Just, you know, put them in the oven and you get some drama. And Colchester, another incredible game the other day.
Unbelievable.
Essex walked off with a win against the Lakers. The Lakers, you feel for them a little bit because they have two of the best players in the state in recent memory, and Riley Magoon and Ali Sheets, and they, they keep butting up against it's safe to say an Essex team that's just a little deeper, has a penchant for, you know, pulling out impressive wins on their home field, that's just whoever Essex is playing in that semifinal game is going to be in for a doozy.
I'll tell you, I've been around here for a long time. I've been coaching high school sports for a long time. Maybe the two best games, high school games, I've ever seen from being a fan's perspective was 2 years ago, the game that took two days to finish, and this past week. I'm obviously, being a Colchester person, I'm heartbroken for Courtney, Boatsma, the head coach of Colchester. She's did such a phenomenal job with those kids. But you got to be really impressed with what Essex has done. They're undefeated. The big home run to tie the game. I'm just very impressed with both teams. But heading down now to play Mount Anthony, 19-0 Essex against 18-1 Mount Anthony. I mean, I was very impressed with Essex. Obviously, look really strong. What can we expect from Mount Anthony today?
Well, if Mount Anthony, I mean, this is the fifth straight state final appearance for the Patriots. They have the one loss, obviously, but otherwise very impressive to the same degree as Essex. I give the Hornets the edge just because that lineup is so explosive, as you saw the other day, and they've done it all year. I mean,
against good pitching, too. I mean, against good pitching. Those two kids from Cole,
exactly.
Sheets and Magoon, are two amazing pitchers, and what they were able to do late in the game against them was really special.
Yeah, Sheets and Magoon are probably two of the top five pitchers in the state in any division. And, you know, Essex, you know, made stuff happen against them. And that's no fluke because they've done that all year. So I think you give them the edge, and especially coming off of last year's championship loss to Mount Anthony, I think you give them the edge. We'll have Ted Ryan and John and Castleton to cover that one. I'm eagerly awaiting what comes out of that because I'm expecting, you know, another classic.
So real quick, I mean, any comment on your Washington Capitals? I mean, congratulations on that. I mean, you and I sat in this studio about 3-4 weeks ago, and you were, you know, you were shrugging your shoulders as they were, I think they were down 2 in the first round, and you thought it was kind of over with, and now you're holding that Stanley Cup trophy, Austin. I mean, how excited are you?
I was savoring every second of that the other night. It felt really good. It was up there with, you know, being a Red Sox fan and watching 04. You know, maybe even a little sweeter because it had been so much heartache for Capitals fans like myself over the last 10 years. Whereas, you know, the Red Sox weren't necessarily in it every year. The Caps had something expected of them every year, and they finally pulled it off. And the symphony of faces Alex Ovechkin pulled over the course of the playoffs was worth the you know, your cable subscription fees alone. It was pretty sweet, I got to say.
The best quote I've seen is on Facebook. My friend Jamie Scavato, who's a very big Capitals fan, said, he goes, "I should be enjoying this, but I'm kind of afraid. I'm worried that the Caps are going to blow this 4-1 lead."
He is pretty funny, so I got to give him that. That's pretty good.
Austin, buddy, thanks so much. Have a great day, and enjoy it, man. It's going to be a good one.
Thanks. Good talking to you guys.
All right. Have a great one. Austin Danforth, this is a big day for high school sports, Dad.
Oh, it's a great day.
It's a huge day, and it's an exciting day. And Centennial Field, there's not a better venue to have these events. I mean, I can't imagine what these kids are feeling when they get to walk on a field like that to play the championship game.
For a lot of these kids, it's their last experience
right.
in high school. I mean, a lot of them won't play again. A lot of them won't have this opportunity again. They won't be going to college or doing whatever they're going to do. I mean, it's a big deal for them. It's something they'll keep forever. I mean, winning championships is something that lives with you forever.
I know, yeah.
So it's an important day for them. It's an important day for their families. You just hope they play well. You know,
yeah.
You hope they leave everything on the field. They get, you know, they have the best of their ability out there, and then they walk away feeling good either way. But yeah, it's a huge day for kids.
And that's what it's really all about. You know, if you can walk away and know you did everything you could, then you really have nothing to put your head down.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, your goal in sport is to give everything you got every minute and see if you're good enough. And if you're good enough, you win. But to give everything you've got and not win, there's a company feeling, know that you experienced something, you tried, you put yourself out there for that, you worked at it, you've given everything you had, and it's a great experience for kids, and that's why sport's so important, Jeffrey. It helps kids develop the character, the culture they need to go on their life. And win or lose today, they're going to experience something they're going to keep forever.
Well, right? Listen, if you're in one of the communities down in Castleton today, there's softball championships all day here in Vermont. In Burlington, over at Virtue Field at UVM, we've got lacrosse championships, and at Centennial Field today, you've got baseball all day. It's going to be a beautiful day. Do yourself a favor, get out there and watch these games. You don't get these times back, and it's a beautiful time of year to do it. All right, quick break when we come back. It's our Out in Left Field segment. Dad, your first one.
I can't wait.
Yeah, you're not going to want to miss this one.
I can't wait.
Want to hear something weird? It's Out in Left Field on Sports Saturday, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, every week we have something goofy to talk about. Aaron, what do we got this week?
Crayfish escapes pot 128 hours style. Now, I didn't double check the name of the movie, but
okay, well, explain that.
Footage has surfaced from a restaurant in eastern China showing a crayfish cutting off one of its claws that was stuck in a pot of boiling water. After its dramatic escape, the crustacean reportedly was adopted by a customer who brought it home to live in a tank.
So basically, the crawfish was getting put into a hot boiling pot of water because he was going to be somebody's dinner. And as he was going in, he cut his claw off to get himself away.
He was caught in the pot by his claw after trying to escape the pot, and he cut his claw off to get away.
Just so it's like that true story about that hiker that got lost.
My God,
and
it's 127 hours. I was close.
127 hours.
That's
wow.
Bad.
That's unbelievable. I mean, that's a total, terrible story about the hiker, but he lived.
He survived.
And he survived.
That's a good thing.
And how about this crayfish? How about this crayfish having the wherewithal to do that?
I know.
You wonder about the brain power of these crayfish.
Exactly.
Now, how they get stuck in the pot in the first place. You'd think they'd be running the place. They'd be running the restaurant.
I mean, that crawfish right there deserves to be in
instincts.
A situation. Well, here's the thing about the crawfish. Like, I'm glad that somebody adopted him and now he's going to live. I've told you guys the greatest Super Bowl upset of all time was my friend Snake that got beaten up by the rat. He put the rat in to feed the snake. Okay. Okay. And this basically the rat like just headbutted the snake, and the snake wanted nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
So for 2.5 hours, the rat just sat in there like owning the pot. So my friend had to bring the rat back to the pet store, and they had to bring a new one in, you know, to feed the snake. But to me, that rat.
You think the reputation of that rap got out to all the?
But that's
people?
What I'm. That's but what I'm saying is that rat deserves to, like that.
You think
rat
he got? You think he's got a rep now? You think he got a reputation?
I'm telling you. Can you imagine being that mouse? He walks back in with everybody else. Looks around, and says, "You know, I face right. the beast. Now bring right. the next one on." I mean, that's what I'm saying. But these animals, they deserve to have like now have a normal life. You know what I mean? When you if I owned a pet store and I was selling rats and mice and my and somebody came and said I had bought this rat to feed my snake, but the rat beat up the snake. That would be my cover boy. Like I wouldn't put you back into population. Well, I mean, you'd be living as long as you want. I'd feed you whatever you needed during the week. I mean, that's super mouse. That's Mighty Mouse.
I still can't figure out why people have snakes.
No, me either. I
don't.
Hate snakes.
I don't get it.
I'm 100% with you on that. We talk about it all the time. I hate them. I'm afraid of them. I don't get them.
I told you my story. Our buddy Surfing Kim Haskell.
Sure.
Surfing Kim Haskell, California.
California.
His son wanted a snake.
Yep.
So he invites me to play in a golf tournament, and he says, "Go stay at our house. You'll stay in Caleb's room. It'll be fine." I said, "Fine." So I get to his house late, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night in L.A. I go in his room. I go to bed. I wake up next morning. Sitting in front of me in a tank is a python.
Looking at you.
Looking at me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, that was it for me.
That's it. I'm out.
Hotel became very quick after
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I said, "Kim, I'm with you. What's the matter with you?" He goes, "Well, he wants
a." He has a snake. No big
Why?
Deal.
Why? What exactly. are you going to do with it? You're going to take it for a walk?
No.
What are you going to do? You're going to pet it?
You don't pet them. They're scary. Yeah, I'm with you. We've had plenty of segments on bad. We don't like snakes.
No.
Just let them. We don't need snakes.
We don't need snakes. No. We do like cupcakes, though.
We love cupcakes. Mm. I love me some cupcakes. Yeah. Like cupcakes, and I like crayfish, and I like that mouse that beat up the snake.
That was pretty good.
I'm into that. All right, kiddo. Sports Center time. Go get them.
Sounds good.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
It's never too cold to grill
okay.
up, Bernie.
Okay, man, you're just killing me.
What do you do, chicken, burgers? What do you put on there today?
And Bernie Siplicki.
Whatever my wife wants.
Of course.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Speaking of our sponsor, the Archives, I mean, one of the coolest bars in Burlington is the Archives downtown. I mean, they have all these old video games down there.
I know, I've heard.
My favorite of all time. Well, I have two favorites of all time. The first one is the sit-down Star Wars game from like 1982. It's like you're sitting.
You were
in a,
big at Star Wars.
Oh, I was big. Back in the day. And that's a great game.
You love Star Wars.
They don't
Wars.
Have, they, he's been, my buddy Matt, the owner of that place, has been trying to find that one for me. But they have NBA Jams in there. I mean, one of the greatest games ever. But it's not just that. They've got all kinds of amazing games. And the cool part about that place downtown is it's in one of the greatest buildings ever, downtown Burlington, which is the old Free Press building.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful building. And they can, it's like being outside because they can take the windows out. So there's all kinds of, it's a great place. If you haven't checked out the Archives, go downtown today. It's going to be beautiful. Great place to be, downtown Burlington in the summertime. Go check it out. After you go to those baseball games, of course. Go check out the baseball games
and
first.
And you got a cupcake.
Andy, we're going to talk about cupcakes pretty soon, too. I know you're into the cupcakes
today. I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got a great cupcake, but let's talk about that later. So last night, little baseball. We'll talk a little baseball here, talk a little golf with you maybe because you are the golf expert. But I do want to talk baseball first. Yankees win again last night, 4-1. I mean, Jacob deGrom was spectacular in
great
the win.
Pitcher.
The Red Sox ended up losing last night, 1-0, kind of shockingly. Chris Sale still pitched great. 8 innings of unbelievable pitching for Chris Sale. Red Sox can get one through. But I really don't want to talk about the wins and losses with the Red Sox. I want to talk about this DH rule that we have for these teams. So basically how we have this working is we have interleague play. When an American League team goes to a National League team's ballpark, you have to follow those rules. And same thing goes with the NL team. So the NL team goes to an American League ballpark, they play by those rules. So if you're an NL ballpark, you have to have your pitcher hits. If you're in an AL ballpark, you have a DH. I never understood that because American League ball clubs are not built to have their pitchers hit. That they're not trained for it. They're not working towards it.
Well, they're not trained to run.
They're not trained to run any of that stuff. I mean, that's you know, when you're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars into these athletes, you know, you're focusing on what things that need to be focused on for them to be successful. Then they get taken out of their comfort zone, you know. And we've seen disastrous things happen. And the recent to mine is Chin Ming Wong. One of the up-and-coming pitchers, young pitchers back in the mid-2000s, an interleague game when Houston was in the National League, playing for the Yankees, comes around third, blows out his leg, and he never...
Well, he did it by just touching home plate. He landed on home plate.
Exactly, and it never was the same.
Never was the same.
Last night in the Yankee game, late in the game, Aaron Judge hits a long fly ball. Tanaka, you know, pitching a one-hitter at the time, comes down, strains both hamstrings. The Yankees have no idea how long that's going to be in play. He might be out for a while. And regardless of injuries are part of things, and there was an argument that, well, maybe the Yankees shouldn't have sent him home. Well, then he shouldn't have been out there.
Unnecessary injury shouldn't be a part of it.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, that's the problem. I mean, the National League has held the baseball hostage for years over this. The ego that they have that it's real baseball, not, you know, pitchers hit, that they can, you know, the double switches and they get, it's more strategy. And all that stuff worked when there was no interleague play. I mean,
when the National League played the National League, right. The American League played the National League, who cares?
Right.
You had a short series in the World Series, and you kind of lived with it. But now these teams play each other every day. And teams could play National League, a Yankees or Red Sox or any American League team could play once a week. They could play a National League team, and it puts their players in jeopardy. And it doesn't make sense anymore for the baseball to not step up into the 21st century and say, look, you know, we've got to change some rules because we're putting people at risk here. I mean, you can't batter. Nobody wants to see a pitcher hit anyway.
Right.
You can't hit. Nobody wants to see them. They either bunt or they make an out. I mean, pitchers on base paths make you nervous because they hurt you. And as you said, Jeffrey, and you're right. I mean, they're spending millions of dollars on these pitchers, and they're training them when they're 10 to pitch the baseball, and they don't hit anymore. They don't run. They isolate themselves into one talent, and then they make them go on a national level and a national stage and run 180 feet full speed. You can't do that anymore. It's all the things the baseball is trying to fix, the speed up the game,
right.
And everything else. The thing they should really fix is keep the rules even for both leagues. Put the DH in. You got more players playing. The union will love it because it opens up more jobs for people, for players, even the older players. It makes no sense for the Yankees, Red Sox, anybody in the American League to go into a National League park and put their pitcher in jeopardy. It makes no sense anymore.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation here. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, the same number, 655-6672. I agree with you. You know, and I'll be the first one to tell you that there's nothing that annoys me more, especially when it comes to baseball, that when I get told that we got to speed the game up, we've got to do all these things, and I'm not a big rules change kind of guy, but when it comes to this, I'm 100% with you. I don't understand what baseball is doing here. First of all, when a National League team goes to American League Park, you're built for that. I don't care if you may not have the power hitter that, say, the American League team has for DH, but you have a professional hitter hitting. When it comes to this, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, Jeffrey, the big news is that the American League teams are built with fewer people sitting on the bench. They don't have as many people on the bench.
It's true.
The National League teams have that extra daily player that plays, not
right.
A pitcher. They have a guy on the bench who can play in the field. Offensive, the Yankees don't have, Yankees or any team in American League don't have that. They may have three guys on the field. They have an extra catcher. They may have an infielder, and they may have another outfielder, but they don't make those changes.
Well, of course, but again, my point being is that when the national team when the Braves traveled to Fenway Park a couple weeks ago, the Braves put a professional hitter in the box.
But they got
the
DH. Extra players.
But regardless, the pitcher's not hitting, so you're not making a huge change to a National League team. To an American League team, you're making a huge change. And I'll say this: when Luis Severino takes the mound on Sunday for the New York Yankees, I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, Aaron Boone is probably going to tell him, you stand up there and you just keep the bat on your shoulder for three pitches. If you walk, you walk. If you don't, you don't. You don't swing the bat, you don't run. I mean, that's not good for baseball.
Well, it puts that team at a disadvantage.
No question about that. No question
about
that.
And it's a shame. And the National League has held them hostage for years over this.
And the purists have held, you know, that's the other thing. And that's the other thing that kind of drives you crazy. You know, we're not allowing, catchers can only, you can only go talk to the pitcher, five times a game now? Seven times a game. What? By the way, what happens if you happen to go eight times?
Nothing.
I mean, do you get scolded? Does the umpire run out and say, hey, excuse me, sir, you've already talked to him six times?
Detention.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, what do they take a run off the board? Do you lose an out? Like, what happens?
Good question.
I'd like to see someone push the envelope on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I'm going out there. What are you going to stop me?
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to see
things that take time in baseball, that seems to be the least of which is affects it.
I agree with you. The time between
innings, the commercials they take, the
right.
batters stepping out of the box, the
Oh, but they won't shorten the commercial breaks because that's losing money.
That's the point. And that's the point. And again, part of baseball, I've always said, is watching players try. Okay, so when you got a Chris Sale on the mound, he's dealing one hitter. It's a sixth inning, and you're down 1-0. I can remember Bernie Williams being the worst. He'd always back out of the. He's just trying to get in your head. That's what David Ortiz would do.
That's what you do.
That's what made baseball so great. It was like the mind games and all that stuff. Now you can't do that anymore. You know, I mean, if someone's going to the mound in the ninth inning in a one-run game four or five times, I mean, you're on the edge of your seat. I mean, you want that pitch tab, but you're on the edge of your seat. That stuff to me doesn't bother me in terms, but this stuff does bother me. These are the rules that I think they should be changing.
This is a bad rule, and this is a rule that's got to get changed because you're putting people in jeopardy here. This is not timing of the game or is it boring or not boring. This is putting players and their careers in jeopardy. It's not good.
Now, what's your take on baseball right now? I mean, to me, I think baseball, you know, there's a lot of talk out there that there are a lot of bad teams.
There are.
And obviously, the The numbers of people going to games is way down. My argument always is that if you put a winner on the field, they're going to win. You know, you're going to put people in the seats. If you don't have a winner on the field in any sport, they're not going to go. I mean, I don't care what, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball. If you don't have a winning product on the field, they're not going to go. But in baseball, I think what's happened is people have seen how the Houston Astros have built their organization, how the Yankees are rebuilding their organization, how the Red Sox have done that. And so all these teams are like, forget it. And what you're going to see now is you're going to see players. I mean, how many of these guys that are still kind of in there, how many guys signed late?
How many guys still haven't signed?
They still haven't signed that are still really good ballplayers because people aren't going to pay those salaries anymore. They're not going to bring older guys in. You're going to see a league that's going to be full of kids.
And that's why you've got the haves and have-nots now. People have decided that Houston's formula works, so they're going to build from inside. They're not going to bring in free agents. Used to be, to keep their fan base, everybody wanted to be competitive. They try to be competitive. They bring in some older star who might get hot, and somebody come and watch. Now they've said never mind to that now. Now they're trying to build within their own structure, which is fine, but it takes time to do that, to build up their farm system, whatever. So you got teams that are really good, and you got teams that are really bad. And the teams that are really really good are really a lot better than everybody else.
And the thing about it is what do you want as a fan? I mean, what do you want? Do you want to be able to say, my team won a championship with all these kids? Or do you want to be relevant all the time? That was my argument back in the day when the Yankees were older but were always relevant. It was like, listen, I would much rather have a team that's always relevant, may not win championships for 10 years, but they're going to be in the playoffs, they're in contention every year, every game means something, than say a team that's absolutely horrible for 4 or 5 or 6 years until they finally get to that point. That's what Major League Baseball has to get to. That's what you fans have to get to. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Well, they'll buy it as long as you get better. I mean, right now, all these fans and the smaller market teams have said, look what Houston did. Okay, I like what they did. They built this juggernaut. Look what the Yankees did. Look what the Red Sox did. All these teams are doing. Washington Nationals from inside. But they've got to actually accomplish that. I mean, they'll keep the fan base happy for a couple of years, saying it's coming. We're doing the right things. We're not spending a lot of money. We're building up the farm system. It's fine, but they better win. And the trouble is, not everybody's going to win.
And that's the point. So, but that's what I'm saying is, this has got to be just a little fad that baseball is going through. This can't be. I can't imagine.
You're gonna find out.
I can say this, and this is what people say: like Manny Machados and the Bryce Harpers, are they going to get the 10-year contracts? Are there going to be more 10-year, zillion-dollar contracts? I'm just using zillion as just a cliche here. But, you know, the Robinson Cano contract.
That's going to find out.
You know, the CC Sabathia, the Mark Teixeira, all those big contracts say that were brought in the early 2000s, the mid-2000s. Those players aren't going to get those anymore.
Well, Jeffrey, how many?
Jeffrey. Yes. Yes, Father.
When would you have seen a Hanley Ramirez, who bats third in the Red Sox lineup,
boom,
get cut in the middle of the year?
Unbelievable. And still not on a team.
Yeah. When would you have seen that?
I don't know.
Ever.
That's a great question. Ever? I don't think you ever would. I don't think you would have allowed a guy like that to get away.
That's what I mean.
And it's all about the bottom line, which I understand. And again, the Red Sox have had a lot of dead money on the books, too. I mean, nobody talks about that. But you talk about the Sandoval, contract, that's still on the books. I mean, the Red Sox have a lot of dead money that's still out there that they're paying these guys to not even play for them anymore. So it's interesting, that decision made. But you wouldn't see that. You just wouldn't. And the fan bases wouldn't stand for it.
No.
If this was 2008, Red Sox fans would have been freaking out if it was, hey, listen, we're going to have to pay this guy. If he hits another 100 at bats, we got to pay him all this money. We let him go. Our third base, he's hitting 500 against the Yankees and has 10 home runs, but we're going to let him go. It just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it's just a different culture in baseball now. But it's all what's working now, what's working, what am
but,
I gonna
but say? I guess when it comes back to you, do you think we'll see any more of these late, like these 27-year-old guys that are in the prime of their careers that want 10, 11-year contracts? You going to see those anymore?
We're going to find out really fast. I mean, Machado and Harper, you're going to find out really quickly.
Do you roll the dice on them? I always said when A-Rod was, I remember when A-Rod signed his,
that was a terrible deal.
Terrible deal.
Terrible deal.
But again, but if you win two or three championships in those 10 years, is it worth it?
If you win two or three championships, it's worth
right.
it.
Right. So at the end of it, we can say that the A-Rod contract was a horrible contract for the Yankees. But if the Yankees won three or four championships
But you could see he was on the downside of what he was doing when they gave him the contract.
Yeah.
I mean, Cashman panicked and gave him that contract. But yeah, you're not going to see those kind of contracts for that age. But you're going to Machado and Harper. I tell you, somebody's going to spend a lot of money there somewhere. And if they don't, there's going to be lawsuits.
Yeah,
because nobody's going to believe that nobody wants them. It's Machado and Harper are going to test the system.
It's not that they're not going to want them, though. But it's about how do you sign a guy? Well, I mean, how do you take a 25-year-old guy? You pay him, and numbers only get bigger as the years go on. So whatever the number is for Manny Machado, who's he's arguably one of the best. He is the best, one of the best shortstop, maybe the best shortstop in baseball, best power hitting shortstop in baseball, maybe the best player, one of the best players in baseball, or Bryce Harper. How do you not say they're going to want 10-year contracts? But how do you, if you're an organization, if you're not a team that's ready to win right now, and you know you can handle all that money, where are you going?
Well, I mean, listen.
Where's your leverage if you're those guys?
Well, I mean, I think, we're going to find that out. That's going to be interesting to see what happens. And it might happen really quickly. But you've got, even on Moustakas from Kansas City, how did he
not go anywhere? I mean,
some of these guys, how did they not get signed? Yeah. How did what happened here? I mean, what happened to the mentality of baseball that says a guy like Moustakas, who's an all-star third baseman from Kansas City, is having a great year this year, isn't good enough to get signed a five-year contract. Nobody offered it to him.
Yeah.
That amazed me. The mentality has changed here.
It definitely has.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens next two.
And you know, I'll tell you, I mean, to me, I don't know if it's good or bad for baseball because you're trying to take care of yourself if you're a guy like Moustakas. He's not going to just sign. I mean, he obviously just signed a one-year deal with Kansas City just to get back in the game.
Just to prove himself again.
But it's crazy because a guy like Moustakas in 2005, he would have had a six-year contract. He would have been playing for one of the big teams and that would have been it. But again, how do you sign a guy like
Look how late J.D. Martinez signed.
And he was holding. Yeah, he wanted more. And that's another great example.
How do you not sign? I mean, that would 10 years ago. That would have happened the first week,
right? Especially after Stanton goes with the Yankees. There's no question that would have been done by the Red Sox.
And the Stanton deal with the Yankees. The Yankees didn't spend anything.
No, I know the Yankees got a great deal on that.
They didn't spend anything for that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The long term big name deals. Are going away.
And I'll tell you, boy, I can just feel right now the Manny Machados and the Bryce Harpers, those are the two big names. They're thinking, boy, if our era was just 10 years ago, I mean, think about what those two guys would have brought. The arms race for those guys would have been insane for those two players right there. I can't imagine what it would have been like in 2000 or late 90s if a guy like those two guys at that age had an opportunity.
Think what it would have been like when DiMaggio and Mantle were coming up for their
crazy
time. I mean, think what that would have been like.
I know. And those guys just signed for like a case of beer and a shot of whiskey.
Yeah,
those guys.
Give me a job at a bowling alley.
I mean, that's what I mean. Those players, when the baseball season was over, they had to go to work.
Yeah.
I think Yogi Berra, didn't he like sell suits or something?
Yeah. Mantle owned a Bowlerama.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, boy, the world changes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get back to the NBA. Our good friend from fansided.com, senior editor, NBA editor for them, Ian Levy. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
I mean, I'm not as tall and I don't have the hair and I'm not good looking, but I mean, other than that, Tom Brady and I are a lot alike.
And Bernie Siplicki.
No.
No.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
You just informed me that last night after Golden State wins the championship, that all the champagne, all the guys are running around dumping on each other, drinking and just spraying all over the place. Probably most of it's on the floor. $400,000 for all that champagne. See, woo, that's some good stuff.
These Golden State Warriors, they don't have any respect, man.
Hey, that's $400,000.
Why these guys live in a bubble.
This is crazy. Just throwing around $400,000. Well, listen, the NBA championship is over. The Golden State Warriors are the champions. We join let me start over. I feel like I was drinking that $400,000 champagne. Joining us now on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN here in the TikTok Through His Guest Line, our good friend from fansided.com, Ian Levy. Good morning, Ian. What's happening, buddy?
Good morning. It's all over.
Well, it's all over. And I mean, how many times did you yawn watching this NBA Finals?
Game one was really exciting. Great game back and forth. And once that was over, it seemed like we were going to, head right down the same path we were on last year.
If J.R. Smith, if he makes the free throw, number one, but if he doesn't have the brain cramp, and let's say that we can change time here and he grabs the rebound, puts it back up and it goes in and Cleveland wins game one, do you think the series is different?
Definitely. I mean, certainly it's much more competitive. I think the Warriors probably still would have been favored, even if Cleveland took game one. But, you know, maybe you're looking at the series odds shifting from 10% for Cleveland going into the series to something like 20 or 25%. And it certainly would have added some, you know, some tension to the following games, which we, you know, just didn't really have.
LeBron James is dominating after this thing is over, during it, but you got to give Kevin Durant his props. What a special player he was, and he was great in the championships.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I didn't run the numbers again after game four, but after game three, he at that point had the third highest career NBA final scoring average of all time, behind only Rick Barry and Michael Jordan. So, you know, he was fantastic last year. He was fantastic in the finals again this year. And yeah, it's a special spot for him. You know, I know people feel like the Warriors have this embarrassment of riches, but I think somebody described it best. Like, Kevin Durant is the floor for the Warriors, and Steph Curry is their ceiling. You know, Steph Curry dictates how crazy good they can be, but they can never be worse than, you know, what Kevin Durant can do, which, you know, clearly is good enough to win a title.
And let me just say this before, you know, I mean, you can say what you want about Golden State, but they, I mean, for the exception of Durant, I mean, they're all drafted guys. I mean, they built the organization through the draft. It's not as if they brought in all these high price, you know, I know Iguodala was brought in and obviously Durant, but this is a bunch of kids, you know, that came up through their system to get them to where they are.
Yeah, and not sure things. I mean, Curry was a risk where he was taken. He, you know, everybody knew he could shoot, but nobody was certain if he could be a point guard. Nobody was certain if he could physically hold up, if he could defend his position well enough to really be a star. You know, Klay Thompson was a great shooter, but he didn't necessarily have a reputation as a great defender. And he's developed a lot. And, you know, Draymond Green was the
right
second round sleeper. So, you know, even the guys they've landed, it's not like they were, you know, it's not like these obvious stars just sort of fell into their lap in the draft. They really did their due diligence, and they did a terrific job with player development once they had guys in their system.
Ian, this is Butch. What were the ratings for this series?
You know? I'm not sure, but I would guess they were not very good.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't that tell you something, though? I mean, they I don't think they were very good. I think they were pretty low, and that's a, you know, that kind of tells you something about what people think about this final and what they think about these teams. I was surprised.
Yeah, I know. There's you know, we go in these cycles, right? There are these issues that sort of crop up over time. You know, for a long time, conference imbalance wasn't really an issue, and it's been an issue for the past handful of years, and it seems like it's sort of leaning worse and getting worse and worse. Sometimes there's this rush to judgment. It's like, well, there's this problem that we have to solve, but, you know, nature and cycles and the arcs of players' careers will change this over time. So, you know, I'm sure after this finals will be a lot of talk about how do we manage player movement? How do we manage, you know, the quality of players who can sort of stack up on the same team? How do we deal with conference imbalance? And, you know, if we had reseeded teams once they got into the playoffs, maybe we would have ended up with the Rockets and the Warriors in the finals, and that would have been sort of this series that everybody wanted to see. But, yeah, I think some of these things just kind of work themselves out on their own over time.
You mentioned conference disparity, and obviously for the last X amount of years, the West has definitely dominated the East, but aren't there signs now that the East could be coming? I thought this year was going to be the year you're going to start seeing the East put their best foot forward. But with a healthy Boston Celtics, with an up-and-coming young Philadelphia 76er team, with a Toronto Raptor team that's got a lot of veterans on it, you know, obviously Cleveland, and you know, we know what they have if LeBron stays or what he does, you know, whatever. Miami's a young and up-and-coming team. Are we starting to see some seeds being planted for the East coming back a little bit?
Yeah, I think, I mean, certainly the Celtics and the 76ers are up-and-comers. I think the Raptors will probably be right back there in next year towards the top of the Eastern Conference. I think the issue is you have these two incredible sort of super teams on the top of the West, the Rockets and the Warriors, and they skew things so heavily. But I think you could argue that other than the Rockets and the Warriors, there's sort of not that much difference top to bottom from the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference right now. And obviously, you know, that's an issue because the Rockets and the Warriors do exist. Those teams are there, and, you know, they skew how teams approach the draft and free agency and, you know, the timelines that they try and build and compete around. But I don't think it's nearly as bad as it looks.
But yeah, because, I mean, don't you think a team like New Orleans, you know, I mean, they're an up-and-coming organization with young players. I mean, Washington, another team that I think has got a lot of young players with good potential. I mean, there's a lot of potential out there to me that says maybe we can start having, a, you know, an NBA again like it was in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're only, I mean, the Warriors are fantastic. There's every reason to think they'll be contenders again next year. Same thing for the Rockets. Who knows where LeBron goes, but I think you saw in this playoffs, as good as the Warriors are, they're vulnerable. You know, if Chris Paul hadn't tweaked his hamstring, they could have lost. If J.R. Smith doesn't make that mistake in game one, Cavaliers still, you know, probably would have been underdogs, but there's, you know, there's a better chance that the Warriors don't win the finals again. And so there's a difference between the likeliest outcome happening and, you know, it's sort of actually being inevitable. So I think we're only a couple years away at most from the Warriors sort of, you know, coming back down to normal, coming back to the rest of the league. You know, same thing for the Rockets. So much rides on Chris Paul, and who knows how much longer he's going to be there. And you've got teams like the Bucks and the Celtics and the 76ers who are rising, and they're going to be right there the next couple of years.
Well, and the Rockets, the problem the Rockets have is they don't run an offense. I mean, if they're not shooting well, they're going to lose. That's what happened to them. They had a couple quarters where they shot the ball horribly. They make poor decisions. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, the Rockets were the most annoying team in basketball because they had a great chance to get themselves in a position to win. And they run nothing that even looks like an offense. The shot selection was horrible, and that's what ended up beating them. I mean, to me, they're the team. You know, they're the team that should have been in that championship. And if it wasn't for the ability that they just got cold. I mean, they take terrible shots. I mean, that's half the problem.
Yeah. Well, there's that thing, right, where they know that it's so clear what they're trying to do on offense that the defense knows. There's no surprises for the defense.
Right.
They're not going to trick the defense or outsmart the defense or anything like that. But they're just so good. I mean, James Harden and Chris Paul in isolation, maybe not the most exciting plays, but they were as efficient as any offensive outcome that there was this season. And their roster, you know, is built that way. Everybody else on the roster, except for maybe Eric Gordon, is really a complimentary shooter. You don't want Trevor Ariza really doing anything except, you know, shooting, catch and shoot threes. You don't want Clint Capella posting up smaller players in mismatches because it's not as good a shot as, you know, as having James Harden just taking his guy off the dribble. So, you know, it worked. I think it's hard to not get caught up in the outcome, but I think, you know, they defended the Warriors as well as anybody has over the past 4 years. They pushed the Warriors as much as anybody has over the past 4 years, other than that Cleveland Finals. And if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt, I think it could really be a different outcome. And so, you know, there'll be questions about their process and their approach. But I think, you know, they were 99.9% of the way there and, you know, got hit by some bad luck at the worst time.
Ian, where is LeBron going?
Oh, man, I don't know. If I had to put money on an outcome, not the field, I would bet that he stays in Cleveland. I know that the roster is flawed. I know that, you know, there's, you know, whatever sort of lingering beef between him and Dan Gilbert. But I think I don't think there's an obvious place out there that gives him a better chance of winning a championship. Going to the Rockets, he has to get through the Warriors and then the best team in the East. I'm not sure that the fit is great in Houston. He just does so much of what Chris Paul and James Harden already do. And, you know, they would have to sacrifice some considerable depth to bring LeBron in. You look at Philadelphia, I don't think that's an obvious fit either with how much Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid handle the ball. And I think, you know, it's hard for me to make a judgment about this because I don't know LeBron and never spent any time with him. But I think at this point in his life, we would be kind of silly to discount, you know, what matters for his family and his, you know, quality of life and all those sorts of things. You know, he said he wants to be a contender. He wants to stay in championship mode. He said that after game four. He could certainly do that in Cleveland again next year. You know, it'd be a tall order, but the Cavaliers could be better next year than they were this year.
All right, Ian, we got a couple minutes left. Your prediction next year, who's in the finals? Less than 24 hours after it's over. Come on, who do you got?
as sad as it is to say, I think you'd be kind of silly not to say Cavaliers and Warriors.
Oh
again.
My God, no! Please, even with
I certainly hope that's not. I certainly hope that's not the case. But I think that's the best pick. If I'm putting my money down, that's
even with a healthy Boston Celtics, I'm not even a Celtic fan. With that coach and a healthy team, you don't think the Celtics could knock off that Cleveland team?
You know, this is kind of convoluted, but we've got some stats guys who work on these playoff prediction models. Yeah. And so they work out, you know, probabilities and what helps you sort of predict who's going to win final series and all these things. And one of the things that they've worked out is that LeBron by himself is a variable that can't be accounted for. So no matter how good the rest of the team is, you also have to account for LeBron as sort of a separate variable. And he's that impactful beyond just his numbers. The way he controls the game, the way he makes plays in crunch time. I mean, he by himself is a separate variable that no other team has. And yeah, I think the Celtics will be a lot better next year. They'll have some fit stuff to work out with Hayward and Irving back now that their young guys step forward. But I think, you know, if I think LeBron's going to be back in Cleveland, it's hard to say that they're not going to be right there again.
Hey, Ian, thanks for your input, buddy. We love talking to you. We'll talk to you again down the road, pal.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Ian Levy, NBA insider from Fanside, the senior editor from Fansided.com. No matter what he says about the Houston Rockets, though, I don't care if Chris Paul was healthy or not. You had huge leads late in both of those games, and their shot selection was terrible. You know, the decision making was terrible.
For a couple of teams, isn't that the NBA?
That's what I mean. But again, that's why, you know, to think that Houston, oh, they're this juggernaut. Yeah, they got great players. And yes, they got big names. And yes, they're elite players and they do a lot of things. But when it push comes to shove, when you're getting defended by, that's the difference. In championship levels, you got to play defense. You got to run something. I mean, I know during the regular season, you know, they're chucking
up. Who does?
Well, in the playoffs, Golden State did. Boston Celtics do. I'm just telling you, just saying that both those teams do. And when it really mattered for Houston, when they could have just ended this thing and it would have been a Houston-Cleveland Fitz final, which would have been fine. I mean, I think Golden State was probably the better team. You know, they had their shot. They missed it. It's disappointing. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for Hot or Not. Your first Hot or Not, too.
Oh.
$400,000
champagne. Are there cupcakes in this anywhere?
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk cupcakes, too. Yeah. Don't go anywhere.
Better turn up the AC, because it's time for Hot or Not. Powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Aaron. One of my favorite parts of the week is our Hot or Not segment, buddy. And speaking about, like, turning the AC up, usually this room, like, 1 minute it's incredibly hot.
Cold.
Right. All day it's been cold.
Cold.
It's weird.
Cold.
Feels nice right now. I like it.
Yeah, what do we got there, buddy? What's going on?
All right. It's time for Hot or Not. Thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston.
I love that place.
Cupcakes. Doesn't get any better than cupcakes,
it
man.
It doesn't.
Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They won't disappoint, offering a large variety of regular and mini cupcakes and edible cookie dough daily. They're open every day but Monday. Get them early as hours are subject to change if they sell out.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable cupcakes over there.
You gotta go early.
Yeah, you do, because they do sell out, and their flavors are spectacular. And I've always told you guys, I've learned the right way to eat a cupcake. You know how it is, right? I said this last week.
Yeah.
Take the bottom off, put it on top of the frosting, eat it like
sandwich.
A big Oreo.
Yeah.
Done. And it keeps it off your hands. Very clean.
I mean, that's
very good.
Yeah.
Don't need a napkin.
Great. And the frosting on it is.
Oh, yeah. The frosting's unbelievable.
That's what I love about those cupcakes.
Yeah.
You got the big frosting.
Big frosting. Big time frosting. Yeah. We love them.
I haven't eaten breakfast today, and you guys are killing
me. I know. Me either. I know. I need to get a fruit cup today. Right. All right. What do we got? What's our Hot or Not today?
The Cavs versus Warriors rivalry is bad for professional basketball.
I'm gonna say not. I don't think it's bad for professional basketball. I think Golden State right now is like the Lakers were in the 80s, and you know, they were the best team in the West, and Cleveland, and what LeBron brings to the table is probably the best in the East, and I don't think it's bad for the game at all. I mean, obviously it wasn't very competitive, so it doesn't look very good, but I wouldn't say it's bad for the game to have those two teams being the rivals.
I think it's bad. It's boring. Boring is bad. I mean, boring is bad, and it's boring. I mean, that's the ratings are low. You know, you again, LeBron's a great player, but enough for him is enough. The way that they play the game, and the way Cleveland plays the game, I think it's bad. I don't think that's the image. I don't think that's the face the NBA wants. Is the Cleveland Cavaliers being one of the top two teams? I just don't think it's.
And you might be right, but in terms of, like, I think you're right. But I guess in the past, we're basing it all on this one series. Where in the past, Cleveland was a very competitive team. Kyrie Irving was on that team. LeBron was on that team. They had very solid big. They've been a good team for a long time. No, they're not now. I agree. This year may not have been good.
But I think it says a lot about the NBA that says one guy can make such a difference on the entire league. that he can take a team like Cleveland. I think that's bad for the league.
No, you're probably right. All right. You're selling me. Of course, you're my father, so you know I never disagree.
Speaking of that one guy, LeBron James is South Beach bound once again.
Oh my God. Not cold, hot, not. It's not hot. I think he's going to go to Philadelphia. I think it's a horrible mistake for Philadelphia if he does. You know, he basically leaves when he comes in. I always say it's like Taco Bell. You know, if you eat Taco Bell, you're enjoying it, you love it, it's the best thing in the world. But then a couple hours later, you know Taco Bell was a problem.
Crunchy.
It is not good. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think he's going to Miami. I think Miami wouldn't be the one.
I think the question should be hot or not. I think it should be cares or don't care. And the answer is don't care.
Hey, I care if it means Jordan Clarkson and J.R. Smith aren't in the finals again. That's why I care. I do not want to watch. I watched that game last night, and it was just depressing to sit up and watch that.
It was rough.
Despite the injury, Mookie Betts is the best player in baseball right now.
You want to take this one first?
You know, he could be. He's having, at least right now, I mean, he's having an all-star year. He's having an MVP year. He's doing everything. I mean, I got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, you don't know how long this will last for him, but he stays healthy. But the first quarter of the year, he's been the best player in baseball.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say hot. I mean, Trout's had a big year to start this thing off. I think Correa's kind of come back to earth a little bit this season. So I think right now he's got to be. He's got all facets. He's an incredible defender. He's got speed. He can steal bases. He's got power.
And he gets all the big hits for him.
He does. I mean, no situation's too big for him. So I'd say hot. I think he probably is the best player in baseball. But again, the Red Sox have the highest payroll, so they should have the best player, right? I just want to put that out there.
Two of the best players, because you could argue JD Martinez is up there, too.
There you go. Highest payroll. That's what happens.
Done. Beautifully done.
Perfect. Yeah. Nice job.
Done. Julian Edelman will win his PED suspension appeal.
I'm going to say not. I don't think that's not going to happen. I very rarely see any of these guys get these PED suspensions, get them, you know, the appeal, and they get, you know.
Well, do you mean, well.
But what are we talking about here? We're talking about, like, reduce or taken away?
Taken away?
No. Say not. It's not happening. Though. You think so?
He'll get it reduced. Yeah.
No way, not getting reduced. It's going to be four games.
He'll get it reduced.
Then Brady had to miss four games for airing a ball. You're going to tell me
that. Reduced.
He had four games, didn't he? Didn't Brady have four games?
It'll be reduced.
All right, well, you say reduced. I say not. I say it's four games.
I say yes.
Okay, fine. Okay, maybe I do too. He's my father yelling at me. Go ahead.
You know, NHL Stanley Cup just ended. Everyone's yelling, you know, Stanley Cup is the greatest trophy in sports. The Stanley Cup is not the greatest trophy in sports. The Lombardi Trophy is.
No, not. Are you out of your mind? Honestly, are you out of your mind? You're going to tell me that the Vince Lombardi Trophy is better than the Stanley Cup? I'm not even a hockey fan. The Stanley Cup is the people's cup. That's the fans' cup. That thing travels all over the world. You can drink out of it. People line up to touch it. Everybody's name is inscripted on it. That's won it. That's the greatest trophy in the world.
But based on
any trophy that has a man in charge of, who I met in an elevator in Pittsburgh.
Who's that?
There's a guy.
Oh, right. Oh, that's right. Tell this story. That's a great story.
There's I don't know his name, but there's a man that the NBA,
the white glove guy.
The white glove guy. He's hired by the NHL. And his job is to take care of the trophy. He brings the trophy to the players. He travels with it. He wears white gloves everywhere.
Everywhere.
We were in an elevator together in Pittsburgh with the trophy and his white gloves. I mean, it was insane. But that's any trophy that you need someone to take care of it every day.
Done.
Is the best trophy.
And that's what I'm saying. That's not just that trophy doesn't go to somebody's, like, no. You know, you don't go to the New England Patriots, like, you know, Bob Kraft's living room and they're hanging out there. This trophy's traveling the world. It's the people's cup.
And there's a guy who brings it.
And there's a white glove guy. You want to ruin this guy's life?
But the Super Bowl trophy it symbolizes winning of the biggest game in American sports.
You are
all
such,
year.
You are such a homer
football
player.
I like the
US player.
Open trophy better.
No, you can't even argue. Based on the viewership, the Super Bowl is the biggest game in America.
I'm not arguing
We're
that
talking it's the individual trophy.
Exactly. I'm not going to argue with you.
But it's what it's symbolic of.
Yeah, okay. Let me just tell you something. The Stanley Cup is like 7,000 years old. It's got everybody's name and script on it. It's won it. It travels all over the world for fans to be able to see. It's the best.
And remember, the Lombardi Trophy only has a team's name on it.
Exactly.
The Stanley Cup Trophy has a player's
name on it.
And
that's
all the players.
Exactly.
On it. I mean, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. I love the Stanley Cup.
And I don't even like hockey. But that's a big deal.
That's not even close, buddy. That's not even a close debate.
I am a homer.
Not even close. All right. What's next? You hope you got a better one than that.
LeBron losing the NBA Finals was better for his career than Kevin Durant completing the sweep on the Warriors for his.
No, not even close on that, too. I'm going to say not. I mean, Kevin Durant's, he could be the best player in the league. You win an MVP in the NBA Finals, that's going to be better than losing for LeBron James. Come on.
If Durant was on the East Coast, he'd be the best player in basketball.
You're probably right.
That's not the question, though, because I agree. He's the best player in basketball, but he left a team that needed him to get far for a team that didn't need him.
What?
No, I understand what you're saying.
OKC's not,
say that again.
OKC's not winning right. anytime soon, and right. they probably weren't with him there. Just
but is anybody really thinking about that now, though, with him? I mean, I think with Kevin Durant, he's been there long enough now where it's like, I mean, does he really care? It's really about his legacy and who he is. I mean, he went to Golden State, whether you like or not, that he left that team to go there, fine. And maybe they needed him, obviously. I mean, OKC's brought plenty of athletes in to try to compete. But at the end of the day, I think what Kevin Durant did is special. It's much better for his career than LeBron losing, I would say. At least that's my opinion, my man. But you're still salty about the Lombardi Trophy, so, you know.
Whatever. So, football season, huh?
Oh yeah, I'll take this first. Not baseball season is right here. It's an exciting time of year. You got baseball every single night. I love this time of year. I think baseball is one of my favorite things. I know that people get, oh, I can't watch every game. I get so, it's so boring. I don't start watching until September. Listen, you've got great pennant races right now all throughout baseball. Go look at them all. They're all very, very good. You've got great players. You've got crazy things happening throughout baseball. You're getting ready for the trade deadline, which is sometime, I think, in July. So I know football season is coming. You're going to have your training camp at the end of next month, but let baseball happen now. It's a great time of year.
Yeah, I just think it depends what your perspective is. If you're a fan of a team or close to a team that's winning, then who cares when football season comes? If you're
a Giants fan like you and I, because the Giants stink.
But if you're a team that's not going to compete for the year, then you can't wait for that for your.
Yeah,
team
I understand perspective. I get that, but I get.
For us.
But again, I agree with what you're saying. But if in terms of baseball, if this is what baseball is going to take over now, this is going to be baseball's thing now until football season baseball with everything else over. I think you got a lot of compelling stories if you like the game of baseball. Yeah. It's not just about the Yankees and the Red Sox. Go look at all the pennant races. It's going to be a tough trade deadline because there's a lot of teams still in contention. It's going to be some season, I think.
I'm still upset Celtics are out.
Get over it because it's over now.
I know.
You know, and the Celtics, listen, if you're a Celtics fan, you gotta be psyched.
I'm so excited to have Kyrie back.
He's the best coach in the NBA.
He is. He's bar none. He's the best coach in the NBA. And what they've done there. I mean, it's funny. Danny Ainge used to take so much smack for what he did, you know, holding on to all those picks, never trading. And now he's got a plethora of riches, and it's only going to get better when those two guys. If Hayward and Irving come back, they're going to be unbelievable. And not only that, they're going to have a lot of trade pieces if they got to go do something because they got a lot of athletes on that bench.
The only thing that scares about Irving is he really believes the earth is flat. That scares
yeah.
me.
That
yeah.
is concerning.
That
yes.
is, yeah, that is a big
somewhere
concerning.
Along. That's going to affect him somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Well, hopefully the Celtics can get their championship
Duke
before that.
And a Duke know. Education.
He's a Duke.
Which is
well,
good.
Not very
yeah.
long, though. He was up with Duke for like a half an hour.
Yeah, he went to one class.
You know, you and Bernie have a lot of common. Two Dukies. I mean,
I know,
two
but even I get you wonder what's going on at Duke sometimes.
And I will say this. You know, we were talking to Austin Danforth about his Capitals. I feel the same way about my Virginia Cavalier basketball team. I'm still heartbroken about that first round loss to Albany.
I hear you.
I'm hurting over that. I mean, I'm like, I'm scarred by that. Oh, man. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I digress. I'm sorry. I'm all worked up over
you want
here.
You want a cupcake?
I do want a cupcake. Go over to Simply Cupcakes, who sponsor our great segment there, and enjoy them. They're the best. I love them. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're done. Don't go anywhere.
We're done.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
All right, rant over, but I had to see it.
And Bernie Siplicki.
I have to.
Thank you.
That was wonderful.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
You got me talking about those superb cupcakes. We need to go to Superb Cupcakes on our way home.
Stuff. Yeah,
right over in Williston. Check them out.
It works for me.
Unbelievable flavors. I love that place. I'm like the big Simply Vanilla guy. They're like the vanilla cupcake
with the vanilla frosting.
Yeah, I'm all in for that.
I like a little chocolate frosting.
Yeah, well, they got that too over there. You can get
I'm
that.
Not a big chocolate cupcake fan.
No,
I like the vanilla fan.
Right.
but a little chocolate, as we like in our donuts.
Oh, yeah. We love the Boston cream donut. That's what we like.
That's what we
like. Oh, yeah. The greatest donut ever made is the Boston cream donut.
Ever
made. Anyway, big shout out to Chris Villani of WEI. Spoke to the Sox and passed with him, Dad. Pretty interesting conversation.
Great call, yeah.
You know, obviously the Red Sox, you know, lost a couple games in a row. He feels, don't sweat the Red Sox, and I don't think he can. They're in great shape. And the Patriots, there might be a little drama. Good for the Patriots. Good for football. Good for football. Nice chat with Austin Danforth. Got a score already in the Division One championship at City Field. It's 3-0 South Burlington, top of the third. Austin sent me a text about a couple minutes ago. So right now I think it's South Burlington 3, Colchester 0, top of the third.
That
was
nice of him.
Yep. So if you're looking for something to do, head over to Centennial Field. There's a lot of championships there today. Great talk with our good friend Ian Levy, fansided.com, NBA Inside Editor. Interesting conversation. He's got great insight. You know, it's been all about LeBron. We'll see where he ends up. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he'd be like, go to San Antonio or something. You know what I mean? He'll end up down there. Like, no, you know. Yeah, maybe he'll do that.
He does love Popovich.
He does like Popovich. So maybe he'll go down
they'd
there.
They'd be perfect.
Yeah, they would be perfect for each other. Hey, Dad, thanks so much for filling
thank
in.
You.
This was so fun.
Thank you. I
loved
it.
Yeah, this is Butch Paul. I mean, come on. Does it get any better than this? What would Jack Haley be thinking down in Rutland
right now?
You think he's listening? He's not listening. Because if Jack Haley was listening, if you guys don't know who Jack Haley is, do yourself a favor. He's arguably one of the greatest voices in Vermont. No question about it. I mean, and I always say that. Jack Haley, you know, Rich Haskell up here. George Como, I mean, those are the names and those are the voices that are iconic. And Jack down in Rutland, but if Jack knew you were on the air right now, he definitely would have called today. I promise you that.
Nah, he listened.
He's not listening today. He's probably mad that you're on, that I didn't have him come up.
That's probably true.
You know, that might be it, too.
That's probably true.
What are you going to do the rest of the day today? The top's down on the Jeep. It's a beautiful day.
I don't know. Go home.
Yeah, back down to Rutland?
Probably back down to Rutland. Yeah. Obviously, you haven't invited me to spend the afternoon.
Oh, so you're more than welcome to hang out with me all day. Well, I got to work. I got to go back and make pizza.
Probably go down to Rutland, spend some time with a little bride. Yeah, it'd be great.
What's she doing today?
She's helping a friend at a garage sale.
Oh, in Rutland?
No, in Castle.
Well, so if you're looking for something to do in Castle today, go over to the yard sale.
Go to the yard sale.
I'm sure there's some goodies there.
I am Brown. Yeah,
yeah, go check her out. Go check it out. Yeah. Hey, guys. Hey, Aaron, well done again today, buddy.
Thanks,
your sports
Aaron,
center was great. Excellent job on your hot or nots and your, the crab cutting off his arm in the hot pot. You know, great story. Good stuff.
Thank you.
We are Sports Saturday, guys. We're here every single Saturday from 10 to noon here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Have a great rest of your weekend. It's going to be beautiful. Be safe. Have fun. Enjoy the sports this rest of this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great day.